Welcome to All Sides with Anna Staber. It's WOSU's spring membership drive. More on that in just a minute. President Joe Biden is still fighting to be on the ballot here in Ohio and in Alabama. Lawmakers in the Buckeye State have about a month left to grant him an exception that would put him on the ballot in November. And the criminal trial of former President Donald Trump is about to get underway here in New York. We're going to be talking about all of it and all things national politics this hour with the host of the Political Junkie podcast, Ken Rudin. But before we get to our interview with Ken, I want to remind you that you're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. It's our spring membership drive, and I want you to remember that listener support is the most important part of our budget. Please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And this is actually a very special Monday for our spring membership drive because it's New Member Monday. And we have a very special offer for our new members today only. When you become a new member, you get the 89.7 NPR News belt bag for $7.50 a month as a sustainer. That's a one-time gift of $90. This special offer is for first-time donors today only because it's New Member Monday. And remember to say that when you're asking us to join as a brand new members. So this belt bag, they have many names, right? The crossbody bag, the sling bag, or the fanny pack if you're of a certain age. But no matter what you call it, you're going to love this bag. If you can find a photo of it on my Twitter or my Instagram, which is at Anna Staber, S-T-A, V like Victor, E-R, and it's got the NPR logo on front and then our WOSU logo on the top. So you can show off your public radio pride and get this great bag for New Member Monday. You're not going to want to miss the chance to take advantage of this special offer, which ends tonight. It's a monthly gift of $7.50 or a one-time gift of $90. Tomorrow, if you make a donation, if you become a new member tomorrow, the bag is going to go up to $15 a month. So if you want to become a new member, today is the day because you get the bag for half price. Give us a call at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If you've been listening for a while and meaning to make a gift, thinking about making a gift, today is the best day to join our WOSU family. Giving right now shows that you enjoy hearing political discussions on all sides. We're going to have Ken Rudin with us this hour, and if hearing his perspective on everything that's going on in Washington is important to you, then now is the time to make a gift. Give while Ken is on the air, and give support to your future listening. We'll continue to bring you in-depth political coverage all of 2024 and beyond, thanks to all of your listener support. So do your part now at 866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. Whew, that was a long intro. Welcome back to All Sides, Ken.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Let me just say one thing. I know every time listeners say, oh, no, another fundraiser, I just came 2 weeks ago with Bob Edwards' memorial service, you know, the longtime serving host of Morning Edition, and it was in Washington. And to a person, everybody is telling me how much money stations are needing for to keep continuing what they're doing, that for some reason, since the pandemic, the giving has changed, the people's lives have changed, and more stations are hurting more than ever. So every time I think that, oh, no, another fundraiser, people have to remember that it's really seriously needed now more than ever because stations around the country are really hurting, and this is a very bad time for stations to be hurting, especially in a year where this election is so going to be so crucial.
Yeah, and just when we thought 2024 couldn't get any stranger, the secretaries of state in Alabama and Ohio have told the Biden campaign that there's a problem with their paperwork, or there will be. Can you walk us through what's going on here and why Biden might not be on the ballot here in Ohio?
Well, it's It's a ridiculous thing. First of all, if the Supreme Court can rule that the Constitution doesn't bar you from being part of an insurrection, then I'm sure the Supreme Court will understand that, basically, Ohio state law needs candidates, the major party candidates, to be confirmed, to be on the ballot 90 days before the election. But it just so happens that the Democratic convention is within that 90-day window. Thus, it may be too late, according to the Republican Secretary of State in Ohio, it may be too late to get Biden's name on the Ohio ballot. Now, that is an argument I can't imagine lasting, especially given the fact that what they did to bend over backwards for Donald Trump, who may or may not have violated the 14th Amendment and the things like that about the insurrection clause. So right now, the Republicans are saying that Biden may not make it onto the Ohio ballot. Democrats are saying this is nonsense. We'll get a waiver to get on the ballot.
Yeah, and this isn't the first time it's happened, either here in Ohio or in other states. Now, sometimes it's both the Republican and the Democratic nominee. And what makes it interesting in this situation is right now, as most people know, Ohio is controlled by a Republican legislature, and it's only Biden's convention that's going to happen after the deadline.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I mean, there have been exceptions made in the past. They've given it a waiver, a one-time waiver. Well, the thought of a major state like Ohio, with all its electoral votes, with all its importance. I mean, let's face it, Ohio is the state that elected George W. Bush in 2004 because it was so consequential, because the race was so close. In the event that the race is close again, look, Donald Trump is leading in Ohio. He'll probably win in Ohio. But to remove a major party candidate from the ballot in such a crucial state is just not the way the founding fathers designed this system.
So part of me wonders why states set these deadlines when they know they have to do workarounds fairly frequently. Like, Oklahoma's deadline also falls before the convention this year, but their law anticipates such occasions by allowing for provisional certificates. I'm like, why does not move the date a little further forward?
Well, that's, asking me to read their minds is one thing, and I don't understand it, why that's the case either, because we've known for some time what the date of the Democratic National Convention is going to be. It's not that the Secretary of State's office in Ohio is surprised by that date. I don't know if they just like to create mischief. I don't know if they say, well, this is our law and that's the way we're going to do it. But right now, people are saying this is not the way to run. Donald Trump keeps talking about a fair election, even though he did whatever he could, according to a case coming up in Florida and Georgia, that he tried everything he can to not make it a fair election in 2020. So we'll see what happens. Well, in the end, I really don't have any doubt that Joe Biden and Donald Trump will be on the ballot in all 50 states. I mean, maybe a more interesting story is how Robert F. Kennedy Jr., what states he gets on the ballot for, because that's become a big issue now with the effect of a third-party candidate. But as far as Trump and Biden, I think that the least of their worries are going to be getting on the ballot. But again, it's an unnecessary distraction.
And we're definitely going to talk about Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s candidacy a little bit later. But first, I want to go to Marjorie Taylor Greene. So she's the Republican representative from Georgia, and she's been calling for the resignation of Speaker Mike Johnson. But former President Donald Trump just gave Johnson his seal of approval. So do you think that Greene backs down now?
Well, first of all, can you hear me, by the way?
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay? Okay.
I'm hearing you A-okay.
I have some kind of crazy system here that's probably created by the Secretary of State of Ohio. Anyway, Marjorie Taylor Greene, a highly valuable member of the Trump defense team, has said basically that she, just like the way they got rid of Speaker Kevin McCarthy, they have the motion to vacate, and only one member of Congress is needed to bring up a vote to get rid of the Speaker of the House. And the reason she wants to get rid of the Speaker of the House is that he has worked with too many Democrats to pass too many issues because the hard right is not going to go along with some of the things that Mike Johnson wants to do to keep the government open. There was a case last week with the Pfizer renewal. There was a controversial issue there that the hard right was against, and she was against, but Mike Johnson felt that it needed to pass, and he worked to get it passed. So she, you know, her loyalty is really more to Donald Trump than to Mike Johnson, but Donald Trump made it clear that Mike Johnson is his guy or is his person as speaker, and this is not the time to change speakers, considering how low the approval rate of the House is in every election poll in the country.
So Trump essentially tossed Johnson a political lifeline.
He has. He has. I mean, again, you know, Donald Trump doesn't hold any power or doesn't hold any office except for the fact that this is clearly his de facto party. And the Republican Party knows what he wants. And a lot of times members of Congress will change their vote and change their views on things because Donald Trump did so. I mean, look at Tom Emmer, who is going to be the Speaker of the House, the congressman from Minnesota. He had the votes in the Republican caucus. But then when Donald Trump said, I don't find him acceptable, I don't find him as a true MAGA, he didn't think that the 2020 election was stolen, and therefore I can't support him. Emmer's candidacy as speaker just disappeared. So there's no denying the strength and the power of Donald Trump and that party, and that includes what gets on the floor in Congress. But as you say, backing Mike Johnson, saying that Mike Johnson, he has his support, is a big endorsement that Mike Johnson sorely needs.
We're going to talk about former President Trump's trial that's getting underway in New York in just a minute. But first, I want to say thank you to Amanda Parks in Columbus. You're going to love that belt bag. It's our spring membership drive, and this hour of All Sides is about national politics. And who better to talk about it than Ken Rudin, a veteran political journalist and the host of the Political Junkie podcast. We're thrilled to have We're thrilled to have Ken with us today. I apologize. If having a show like this one is important to you.
That's okay, Ann.
Oh, I see. Please make a gift now at WOSU.org, or you can call 866-897-9678. If you've been thinking about becoming a new member of 89.7 NPR News, today is a great day to do that. Today only. New members get a very special offer. We've been talking about the belt bag, but we're also offering the Public Radio Nerd pint glass for $5 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $60. This is a great offer for new members today only. So don't miss the chance. Become a new member for New Member Monday at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And I know I'm not supposed to have favorites when it comes to the fund drive, but the Public Radio Nerd pint glass is my absolute favorite. Again, you can find an image of it on my Instagram stories at Anna Staver. Like everybody who sees it thinks like, ooh, I want that. And if you listen to 89.7 NPR News every day, you might consider yourself a follower, an enthusiast, a groupie, or how about a public radio nerd? Proudly display your love of NPR with the Public Radio Nerd pint glass. It has the Public Radio Nerd logo on one side and 89.7 NPR News logo on the other side. Today is New Member Monday, and this is the only time to get this special offer. $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60. Just like the belt bag, the pint glass returns to $10 a month tomorrow. So if you become a new member tomorrow, it's going to be double the price for the pint glass. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And giving right now supports this show and everything that you hear on 89.7 NPR News. This station and this talk show has been covering it all, from analysis of Ohio's recent primary election to previewing what will be on the ballot in November. We love talking politics. We cover it locally each week with our reporter roundtable. We cover national politics like we're doing today with Ken Rudin. If this station is your source for news and information, then now is the time to show your support. Give right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So, Ken, Trump's criminal trial gets underway in New York today. The former president is defending himself against charges that he directed an illegal scheme to pay off an adult film star. Because it's a criminal case, Trump's got to be in court every day. Is that going to matter during the election if he's not on the campaign trail for like 2 months?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we've seen in the past, we've seen that every time that he appears in court or every time there's a new indictment or something like that happens, his numbers go up, his support among Republicans and, well, not independents, but certainly wavering Republicans goes up. So it'll be an interesting for him to be campaigning inside court. And of course, I mean, you know, there are four actually trials that he is ostensibly going to appear before, but this is the first one, and this may be the only one that will happen, a verdict before the election itself. And this, to me, seems to be the most inconsequential of the four. This is not like trying to steal classified documents or trying to overturn the election or trying to, you know, put through a fake round of electors to steal an election. This is paying off a porn star to basically, you know, keep this out of the news. And, you know, the National Enquirer did its job, and Michael Cohen, who's now the prosecution witness, did his job in, you know, giving Stormy Daniels $130,000 to keep quiet. Now, there are some people say, really, this is what's going to, you know, get the former president. This is what we have to, try for the former president. And it may not be as sexy and may not be as crucial as the other trials. But the fact is, this is what the way the calendar sets it up. And this is the first time in history, you know, that a president, a former president, is going on trial.
Yeah.
With federal charges, 34 felonies in the New York case alone.
And Trump says he plans to testify. I assume if that happens, if he does end up testifying, it'll be all over the news that week or for those days.
Oh, there's no question. Well, first of all, today really is the beginning of jury selection, and that could last a week to 2 weeks. So that's going to go on for a while. But I mean, the fact is, Donald Trump loves to torment, and he has been tormenting his former fixer, Michael Cohen, who back in the day, Michael Cohen would do anything for Donald Trump. And one of the things he did was to pay off Stormy Daniels. But when he, the former president, broke from Cohen and started, you know, calling him a liar and a con man and all these terrible words and terrible names, Cohen said, okay, I've had enough of this. And now for somebody who was such an unquestionable loyalist to Donald Trump, he is the best that the prosecution has right now. And I'm not sure if Michael Cohen is somebody you really want as a prosecution witness because of his own admitted lies in the past. So this is going to be a very interesting case. I think Donald Trump is more confident of this one getting, either acquittal or some kind of a favorable verdict than he is on the other ones. But Donald Trump knows that any publicity is good publicity. And so, you know, the campaign goes on.
Yeah, I kind of wonder whether this will have a cultural moment or we'll look back on it as a cultural moment, the way that we were looking back on the trial of O.J. Simpson just this past week with his passing. Because, you know, if you're of a certain age, I think everyone remembers where they were when that verdict came down. And so much of modern day coverage of trials and crime, I think, started with the O.J. Simpson trial.
That's true. And I think the one thing, I mean, look, we would, you know, the O.J. Simpson trial, of course, was we were talking about a double murder, and that's not the case here at all.
No, not at all.
But it does involve celebrity and the power of celebrity. And for all the hand-wringing that's going on about O.J. Simpson 30 years later, and, you know, there's a lot of it went on this week, you know, which is amazing, like as if nothing happened, nothing changed from 1994. But for all the hand-wringing, it's the same kind of hand-wringing that we're seeing about Donald Trump that, you know, to me,
you know, I could see that, well, this is a black and white issue. I don't mean this as a racial thing, but a black and white issue, whether guilt or not guilty. But the country is split. The country was split on O.J. Simpson. The country is split on Donald Trump. And it will hog the headlines and the TV networks and certainly the cable networks from now until the verdict.
Speaking of hogging the headlines, the state of Arizona has been taking up a lot of oxygen in the national conversation after their Supreme Court ruled that an abortion law passed in 1864 is now legal. This has led to responses from across the political spectrum. And, I mean, if Arizona wasn't a state to watch in 2024, it absolutely 100% is now.
Oh, absolutely. First of all, the fact that that Joe Biden narrowly carried Arizona in 2020 was considered a shock. It was so much of a shock that Fox News fired their political director because he was the one who said that, yes, Biden won Arizona. And Fox supporters said, no, he didn't, because he's not supposed to win. So they fired the guy because Fox News was the first to go on the air and say Arizona went for Biden. And that was not good for the true Trumpers around the country. But there's also a big Senate race. Kyrsten Sinema, the Democrat turned independent, is not going to run for a second term. And the two candidates is Ruben Gallego, the likely Democratic nominee, and Kerry Lake, a very pro-Trump Republican who narrowly lost the race for governor in 2022 and has not conceded, just like her idol hasn't conceded that election either. But what's interesting about Kerry Lake is in 2022, when she was running for governor, she praised that 1864 law, saying that, you know, this is a good law. This is the right thing. This is, you know, protects life. It supports life and all that thing. But now that the courts are, like we saw in Arizona, I'm sorry, in Alabama, with that abortion
IVF.
Issue, yeah, right. The IVF issue. The Republicans in Arizona are now panicking. They're saying that there are a lot of Republican women that say, wait a second. I like Donald Trump. I am a conservative. I'm pro-life. But this is beyond the call. This is really, you know, just, you know, from 1864 and has not advanced since. So Kerry Lake and a lot of Republicans are panicking that the thing that they always wanted, the repeal of the Roe versus Wade decision, and in the aftermath of also more so-called pro-life rulings from the courts, are really hurting Republican chances. We saw that in Ohio with question number one last year about whether, you know, reproductive rights belong part of the Constitution in Ohio, and that was passed overwhelmingly in this state that Donald Trump won twice. So Republicans, every time a court like in Arizona rules on something as so significant and personal as abortion, Republicans realize that, oh no, this is another thing we have to break away from our previous statements on.
We're going to talk about Trump's recent speech on abortion in just a minute. But I want to say thank you to Sarah Zalegi from Columbus. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. And this is All Sides with me, Anna Staber. Support the station you listen to every day at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. The past few years have been interesting, to say the least. The news has been relentless, and All Sides has been covering it, from untangling the housing crisis to the ongoing opioid epidemic, to the debate over gun reform, redistricting. Make a gift today in support of 89.7 NPR News and this show as well. You can give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. New members are the future of 89.7, and today is a great day to become a new member because we have very special offers. If you become a new member today, you get the NPR News belt bag for $7.50 a month as a sustainer. The offer is for today only. The price is going to double tomorrow, and it's a special for new members. This great belt bag can hold your wallet, your keys, your phone. It can be worn around your waist or across your body for easy access to all your belongings. It has the NPR logo on the front and our own 89.7 logo on the top. And the belt bag returns to $15 a month tomorrow. So if you become a new member today on New Member Monday, you get it for $7.50 a month or a one-time gift of $90. If you rely on this station for news and information every day, then we're asking you to move from being a listener to a member of 89.7 NPR News. If you love hearing about national politics and you're a fan of Ken Rudin, then give and join while Ken is on the air. And if you're already a member, thank you so much for your support. But please consider making an additional gift this hour to show your support of our ongoing political coverage. We know the November 2024 election is going to be intense, to say the least. And you're going to depend on this station to help you sort through it all, fact from fiction. So if you give today and support your future of listening, give in any amount right now. Make a gift today at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So the issue of abortion has reached the point where President Trump has gotten involved and he gave a speech.
Wait. Former President Trump.
Former President Trump, yes. Has gotten involved and he gave this speech on abortion, and I'm still not 100% sure where he stands at the end of it.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I think a lot of even his own supporters feel exactly that way. The fact is, let me just go a little history lesson. When he was talking about running for president in 2000 as a member of the Reform Party, he was saying that I am 100% pro-choice. He said he was pro-choice. He gave money to Nancy Pelosi, blah, blah, blah. When he ran for president in 2016, clearly he changed his tune. He named Mike Pence as his running mate, which, of course, you know, got him in good standings with the pro-life community. And true to his word, he named three Supreme Court justices who basically helped overturn the Roe decision, as he promised. So basically, the pro-life community, the anti-abortion community, looked at Trump as one of them. Since then, Trump has been really all over the map on abortion. He basically says that, he's saying that I want the states to take it up, which is not the same as a national anti-abortion law, which some pro-lifers, I'm sorry that I'm using shorthand for the anti-abortion crowd as pro-lifers. I know there's some different definitions of what pro-life really means, but I think, you know, the audience knows what I'm talking about. But so he said that I think there should be states' rights. Every state should have the right. Then Trump says, oh, I don't like what Arizona is doing. I don't think he liked what happened in Alabama either. So much for states' rights. And now he's saying, well, you know, something, I could support a 15-week abortion, you know, not after 15 weeks. Whereas, like, you know, Ron DeSantis and other strong Republicans, anti-abortion Republicans, are talking about 6 weeks. So, basically following up on what you said, Anna, is that not many people know where Donald Trump really, really stands on abortion. And I think he has switched his views, or at least switched his rhetoric, to seemingly suit what he thinks is going to be, you know, the more popular position. But in doing so, he's making more and more of his allies question his sincerity about the anti-abortion cause. And a lot of people are asking questions.
Yeah, the Susan B. Anthony group, a pro-life group, a national one. I think they've essentially said, we're not thrilled with what he said, but obviously, in their opinion, Trump is a better choice than Biden. So, but it depends. You know, former Vice President Mike Pence, who also tried to run for president this year, said he was very disappointed. And, you know, it is sometimes, I don't want to make any assumptions about what the former president believes, but sometimes it does seem like this is more, abortion is a political calculation for him more than a moral one.
I think that's a fair statement. I think it sounds critical of Donald Trump, but given his past statements about abortion, given the fact that he was pro-choice back in 2000, I think it's fair to, and given the fact that he said that he wants states' rights, states to decide on abortion, and then criticizes Alabama and Arizona, and now he's talking about 15 weeks, that would be appropriate, not to the Susan B. Anthony group, or other pro-life organizations. So, he's not going to look. These people are not going to vote for Joe Biden. But at the same time, there are a lot of Republican women who said this has gone too far, and they wonder whether they can stay in Donald Trump's corner for the November election. We'll, wait and see on that. But I did see that at least since the State of the Union address, and maybe since the more and more interesting abortion decisions have come out, that Joe Biden has picked up a bunch of points. Again, I don't want to play the who's up and who's down, because we have all these months to go. But the fact is that, 2 months ago, Donald Trump's lead was in the national polls, the average was maybe about 4, 5, 6 points. And now maybe it's 1 or 2 points. So there seems to be some rebound that Republican, pro-Republican women may be pulling away from Trump. Maybe some people, some Democrats who are not happy with Biden over Israel and Gaza, maybe saying, well, Trump would be worse, and maybe we're coming home to our Democratic president. But this race is going to be very, very tight. And, again, going back to the pitch about why it's so important to give to WOSU, Ohio is going to be crucial. I mean, we say that all the time. I remember I spent the whole year of 2004 saying Ohio is going to decide the next president. And certainly Ohio can decide the next composition of the U.S. Senate, if nothing else. And that's why obviously for WOSU to continue what it's doing, it needs to have the resources. And again, you didn't ask me to say that. And I just feel very strongly that what WOSU is so valuable, what they do is so valuable and so critically needed, that I hope just the audience understands that.
Thank you.
And that was a personal statement from Kevin Rudin.
And thanks you. And thank you to Erin Sogel. Erin says she is a lifelong listener, as in grateful for WOSU. She encourages others to support local journalism and support democracy. Thank you so much, Erin. And, I know diving into the crosstabs of polling, or any polling really right now, is slightly problematic. But I do want to talk a little bit about the youth vote in just a moment, because this is a listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. And this is All Sides. It's our spring membership drive, and this hour we're talking politics with Ken Rudin. If you appreciate hearing Ken's perspective on the news, then make a gift now while Ken is on the air. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If you rely on this station for news and information, then we're asking you to move from being a listener to a member of 89.7 NPR News. And today is a great day to make that move, because we have a special new member offer. New members get the Public Radio Nerd pint glass for $5 a month as a sustainer, or a one-time gift of $60. And as I said, I know we're not supposed to have favorites, but this Public Radio Nerd pint glass is my absolute favorite this spring fun drive. You can find it on my social media at Anna Staver or on our WOSU Instagram. Once you see it, you're absolutely going to want it. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. As we head deeper into the 2024 election season, we know that the news coverage is going to seem relentless. That's why we thought, if you're following the news, maybe you could use a drink. And you get the Public Radio Nerd pint glass as your thank you gift today. When you become a new member, you have the option of getting it for $5 a month. And you can toast this noisy election year while supporting 89.7 NPR News. This 16-ounce glass features the Public Radio Nerd logo on one side in large block letters and our 89.7 NPR News logo on the other side. This glass can be used to quench your thirst with any beverage, alcoholic or not. And the pint glass returns to $10 a month for everyone tomorrow. So you can get it for $5 a month today, or you can pay $10 a month tomorrow. So if you've never given before, today is the day to make the leap and become a new member on Monday. You'll get this great thank you gift for $5 a month or the one-time gift of $60. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. 9678. And if you've been listening this hour, then you've also heard me talk about the 89.7 NPR News Belt Bag. We have a new member combo available today. If you can't decide between the belt bag and the pint glass, and honestly, I wouldn't be able to pick a favorite. Well, maybe the pint glass. I don't know. They're both so good. But you can get the pint glass and the belt bag, and so you don't have to choose, for $12.50 a month or a one-time gift of $150. This offer is just for New Member Monday. So it's $12.50 for both. And the best part is that you're supporting your favorite radio station. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So, Ken, I know diving into crosstabs can always be a little dicey when it comes to polling, but one of the more surprising stats that I've been consistently seeing appear in polling is that Biden is slipping in his support of young voters. He won them by as much as 29 points in 2020, and not only that, he turned them out to vote. Should he be worried at this point about voters under 30?
I think there's a lot for Joe Biden to be worried about, and I'm not saying that he's going to lose. I'm saying that the numbers that supported him in 2020 do not look like it's being duplicated in 2024. Again, we have months to go before that happens. And I don't just, you know, I'm not a big fan of polls, you know, in April or May, because things do can change and they will heat up as we approach November. But they don't look great for Joe Biden. It's not only young voters, but it's also African-Americans. It's also Latino. But it's also young voters. A lot of them are not, I don't know what to say there. First of all, the fear of Donald Trump was basically, in my view, what elected Joe Biden in 2020. And of course, he's trying to replicate that tactic in 2024. But not everybody is happy with Joe Biden. And then while a lot of things are getting done, it's still, you know, more expensive to go to the grocery store. It's the gas prices just shot up this week, at least on the East Coast, it just shot up, and maybe around the country too. So the economy is not great. I mean, we picked up more jobs. The nation has you know, filled more jobs than before. Unemployment is down. The stock market is booming, and that's all great news. But it doesn't help Ma and Pa Smith, you know, when they go to the food store or the gas station. But young voters are less and less inclined to. They say, well, does it really matter if it's Joe Biden and Donald Trump? I will make the argument that it does matter. Of course, both sides will make the argument that it does matter, but a lot of young voters don't see that. There was very few times where young voters really got inspired. We did see a bit of that in 92 when Ross Perot had this new kind of way of campaigning and it excited a lot of young voters. When Obama was elected for the first time in 2008, a lot of young voters got excited, but they got less and less inclined to vote in the post-Obama years, and so that's one of the things that Joe Biden has to worry about. Plus the fact that Democrats, the issue of Israel and Gaza, you know, it's very interesting how that seems to have flipped. Israel and certainly Jewish voters used to be a reliable part of the Democratic coalition, but given the fact of what Netanyahu is doing in response to the atrocities by Hamas in Israel, and that is, you know, maybe 30,000 people who have been killed in the aftermath of the horrific October 7th attack, people saying, well, wait a second, maybe I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden. So between Arab voters, Jewish voters, African-American Latino voters and young voters, those numbers don't look the same as 2020. And clearly Joe Biden has work to be done.
But both Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have said they support Biden. I don't know how much that'll help, but it's interesting to see them say, look, we don't agree on a lot of things. Both say they're Democratic socialists, but that they're also pragmatic and that working with Biden is going to be a lot better for them and their causes than trying to work with a President Trump.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned AOC. I'm more interested than Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's decision recently to spend several hundred thousand dollars for a big treasury. She She's a prestigious fundraiser that is, one of the greatest in the Republic in the Democratic Party. And she gave $266,000 or $300,000 to the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee for the first time ever. And her words, basically what she says is, look, I've battled the Democratic establishment for years, but the first of all, one, the old guard is down. Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, Jim Clyburn are all gone from the leadership. And two, I think, I'm just too afraid of Donald Trump possibly coming back to power in 2024 and the Republicans keeping the House in 2024. And so she has taken one for the team. So that is interesting. And I'm kind of thinking that's part of the perhaps Democratic Party's realization that Joe Biden may not be perfect, but Donald Trump is worse, and we can't risk splitting our vote, or at least keeping people, having people stay at home, given that there's so much at stake.
Yeah, I think she has the credibility with a certain contingent of voters to be like, look, I get it. I'm frustrated too. But when push comes to shove, like, this is who I'm voting for, and this is why.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, Bernie Sanders doesn't support me. Surprise me. The only thing about Bernie Sanders that interests me is that he has not definitely announced he's running for re-election yet, and that would be interesting. Not that I think a Republican can win in Vermont, and I don't think they can. I'm trying to think of the last time a Republican won in Vermont, and I guess that was Jim Jeffords, who in 1994. So that's how long it's been since a Republican was elected to the Senate in Vermont. So I'm not, but I'm just interested whether Bernie Sanders runs again. And you're seeing all these, the Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin and so many other Democrats are saying that I'm just, we're just, packing it in. So it's going to be very interesting to see what Bernie Sanders ultimately decides to do.
And I know that the Israeli war is, a bit of international news, but it's definitely having an impact here at home. And there was some escalation in the last couple of days, notably with Iran deciding to send bombs into Israel. Now, most of those were defused, but we're all sort of waiting to see what happens. And it, I don't know. I just can't predict what's going to happen there. And I don't
No,
know.
and the reason you can't predict is Netanyahu is just unpredictable. I mean, for somebody who has relied on U.S. military aid for so many years, you would think that Netanyahu would be more open to what Joe Biden has to say, but that's not what Netanyahu believes. I mean, look, there's no questioning that what happened, the Hamas attacks, the atrocities of October 7th were beyond the pale, the beheadings, the rapings, it's just horrific what happened there. But if you're saying that indiscriminate bombings, in Gaza is acceptable, there are a lot of Democrats that say, wait a second, if I believe in the sanctity of life and I believe in, peace as much as I do, then it's just as bad for Hamas to kill as it is for the Israeli Defense Force to kill. So a lot of Democrats are really, really, saying that this is really awful, and there a lot of them are hoping that what Joe Biden has said regarding the Iranian attacks of drones and missiles is that, look, okay, that was retaliation for the Israeli killing of some Iranian generals in Damascus a while back, but let's not escalate it any further. I think it's fair to say that Iran let the U.S. know that these attacks were coming. It was obvious that they didn't want to incite the United States to come into the conflict. And so I think Iran had to do something in response to the attack of the generals. But for the sake of the world, one would think that maybe Israel should say, okay, it's over. But then again, if I'm an Israeli citizen and I know that Iran sent 300 missiles and drones into my country, I would want a response. So it's going to be very, very tricky to see what Netanyahu ultimately decides. Speaking of decisions, I mean, somehow between now and the next month or two, Donald Trump is going to name a running mate. Maybe next time we talk, we could talk about possible candidates, because that is the big guessing game in Washington right now, whom Donald Trump picks, I predict it will not be Mike Pence.
Safe pick.
Yeah, but there's a lot of predictions going on. J.D. Vance is among the front runners for VP. It's going to be very fascinating to see who the ultimate choice is.
Yeah, Ohio seems to be always a bridesmaid and never a bride when it comes to VP picks. But we would love to hear from 10 more people in the last 10 minutes of this hour. And what I want you to do is I want you to go to Instagram and I want you to open it up. And if you're not following WOSU, I want you to look up WOSU Pub, P-U-B, Media. It's all one word, WOSU Pub. PUB Media, and you'll find a picture of both the pint glass and the belt bag that we're giving away this hour. And when you see them, trust me when I tell you they are super cool and you're going to want them. Because this is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. And your support pays for the programs that you listen to every day. The news and shows on this station are paid with listener support. Give today at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And you're running out of time to be a part of this new Member Monday deal. I'm talking to the listeners out there who have never given before. We know you've been thinking about it. We know you're listening. And today, we're asking you to make the move. Move from being a listener to a member of 89.7 NPR News. Join the WOSU family. And as an extra incentive, for those new givers out there, we're offering the NPR News belt bag for $7.50 a month or a one-time gift of $90. This belt bag is a fun, fashionable way to carry your belongings. You can call it a belt bag, a sling bag, a fanny pack, no matter what name you use. They are easier to wear than a purse or a backpack. They're great for OSU football games, for blue jackets, for any sporting event where there's a bag size limit. This belt bag will fit. It is perfect. But it is available now for $7.50 a month. That's half off. You get this gift today only for new member Monday at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And if you've been listening all hour, you also know that we have a special offer of the Public Radio Nerd Pint Glass for New Member Monday. And we have a great combo deal on both. So if you can't decide between the belt bag or the pint glass, for $12.50 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $150, you get them both. Why choose when you can have both? But what is important is that you make the move today and become a new member. Give it WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. As a regular listener of All Sides, you know that we bring a diverse range of topics. But if you like politics, then I'm sure that every Monday you listen for the Weekly Reporter Roundtable. And I'm sure hearing about national politics from Ken Rudin is important to you, too. All Sides is dedicated to in-depth, thoughtful discussions that go beyond the headlines. So support your public radio station today. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So, Ken, President Biden is trying again to cancel student loan debt for millions of Americans. I mean, I guess if at first you don't succeed, try again.
Well, yes. I mean, there's a lot of arguments to make. You could always say, well, what about young Kevin Rudin who realized he couldn't go to an expensive college because he couldn't afford it, and now you're going to take the people who did pay to go to college and wipe out their debt. It's still a controversial issue in this country, whether it's fair to, you know, for the people who spent the money and then gets refunded. And it's one of the things, it's on his list. I'm not sure if it's really a helpful political issue. But it's kind of thing that he is not giving up on. There are so many things. Remember, like voting rights and all the things that were on his list when he was first elected excusing the debt of college students was on that list. It hasn't happened yet. He's still trying. And, you know, I mean, who knows if anything could happen in Congress? Somebody was telling me they were talking about running for Congress in a certain state. And I said, why would you run for Congress when so much it gets bottled up, and very few things really happen, and you really, really don't get to accomplish what you wish to? And then I think by the end of the conversation, she said that maybe she's not going to run for Congress at all. But
aww.
No, I don't think it was like that. I think she's still running. But the fact is that so many things get promised, so many things don't get accomplished or get done. And I think we should, another conversation I'd love to have in a subsequent show is whether Joe Biden should debate Donald Trump or not, because you can make the argument that so much of what Trump says is untrue. So much of it is interruptions. So much of it is denying what really happened in 2020. And you want to give a national platform to that point of view. So Democrats are really torn about whether debating Donald Trump makes sense at all. So it's another thing we should look out for.
Oh, for sure. I want to say a quick thank you to Mike Lyons from Springfield and Drew Laughlin from Columbus. We've got just a couple minutes left, and we would like to see 8 more donations to make this hour a success. You can get the Public Radio Nerd pint glass or the belt bag. And, you know, since we've got just a few minutes left, I might want to circle back to who Trump is going to pick for his vice president. You mentioned J.D. Vance. If I had a pick, I think it's going to be Tim Scott.
Well, I'm not a fan, you know, as Donald Trump accurately said, that Tim Scott made the case much for Donald Trump much better than he made it for himself. I think Tim Scott hurt himself during the debates. He was really not specific at all, not dynamic at all. It seems like a lot of his stories were you know, things that are so heavily rehearsed. But you know something, we got to figure out who complements Donald Trump. Mike Pence was a smart pick in 2016 because Donald Trump had no street cred with the evangelical community. Pence gave it to him. I'm not sure what Tim Scott brings. He's not going to bring black voters, certainly, especially with Kamala Harris on the Democratic ticket. He's not going to do anything about South Carolina because South Carolina is in the bag. I wonder if maybe he's going to look for a swing state, something, or something that would just shake up the race. I'm not sure if Tim Scott does that. But again, this is the kind of, I mean, I predicted Tom Eagleton for George McGovern in 1972. That was my claim to fame back in 72. And everybody said, who is Tom Eagleton? And today they're still saying, who is Tom Eagleton? But that was my claim to fame.
Today, we are specifically talking to new members during our spring fund drive. It's New Member Monday. But if you're a current member, thank you so much for supporting 89.7 NPR News. Perhaps you can consider making an additional gift this hour to support our conversations about national politics with Ken Rudin. If this is one of your favorite topics and favorite guests for all sides, make a gift now and show how important it is to you. Make an additional gift this hour and make All Sides a great success. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus, and online at WOSU.org, a service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News, global, local.
Hello, Kenneth.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.